Welcome to Feels Like Weezer, where we're talking about Weezer's catalog, one song at a time, track by track. I'm Eric Nash from Watchmen Minute.
And I'm Zach Fracking-Smith. You can follow me on Twitter, at The Informal Log. And we have a guest today.
Ooh, that's me. I'm Tyler Boudreau from Fantastic Mr. Fox Minute, which is done and over, and from the Evil Podcast of Evil, a podcast about Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which hasn't started yet. So, it's a time. Thanks for having me on, guys. I don't think I ever said that last episode, but thank you.
Well, great. You're very welcome. Thanks.
I genuinely enjoy your company, even though it sounds very sassy usually from my end.
Well, that's what happens when two sass masters meet each other.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's the two of you that are sassing up.
I mean, have you listened to the podcast? If you say no, that's okay.
I'm not even that sassy. It's just when I'm a guest on other people's podcasts, I just go out of my way to cause hell.
Good. I'm glad. Somebody's gotta. Makes it a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, Eric?
Yeah, are you going to cause hell for us with Butterfly?
Oh, you know it.
Yesterday I went outside with my mama's mason jar. Caught a lovely butterfly. When I woke up today, looked in on my fairy pet. She had withered all away, no more sighing in her breast. I'm sorry for what I did. I did what my body told me to. I didn't.
So Zach.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna divert from Tyler over there, but Zach, what do you think about Butterfly?
Oh my god. The song is so good. Like, when if you remember, I gave The Good Life a 10, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think there's any other song on this album that's that good. I apparently forgot that I haven't listened to the album all the way through in a long time. And Butterfly is so good. Everything about it is wonderful. I'm a big fan. Oh yeah, everything.
Okay.
The lyrical content?
The lyrical content's great. What are you talking about? Let me take that again. The lyrical content's great. What about you, Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler, that's here.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, a great way to end an album, like, and yeah, killing it, like, 100%, like, we've been talking about how this is kind of like an over-the-top emo album, and then this song kind of just hits us with it's just going to be an acoustic guitar and some real, what's the word I'm looking for? Genuine sync, like emotions.
Yeah. Instead of a loud emo song, we're going to get a quiet emo song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Eric, what do you think?
Well, and to piggyback onto what you were just saying, I've been reading this book, that I went ahead and got I know Zach has as well.
Oh yeah,
but Nirvana and their and Kurtz really Something in the Way.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I think these two kind of share that chemistry of okay, let's just scale back this, whether it's the grunginess or the heavy metal or the punk kind of sensibilities, and you know give this really earnest, heartfelt. Something like very kind of so much more personal. I mean, not that a ton of the other stuff here on the Pinkerton album hasn't been of a kind of fairly personal nature.
Yeah,
but
this feels more authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's good word. Because I feel like a lot of the earlier songs, it's pumped up machismo. You know. You know, the Tired of Sex, uh-huh. You know, and all that, and Get You especially. But, you know, like, this is, we're getting Rivers at his most raw, I think.
Raw Rivers.
The raw Rivers. it's, I think it's great. I mean, it's reminiscent of a lot of the lyrical work on the Blue Album, I think, where it's the Blue Album's incredibly personal, and you know, we really mm-hmm. see that in Butterfly specifically, in my opinion, this is the most personal of Weezer's catalog so far.
Why did you say catalog like that?
Like what? I say catalog all the time. What's...
Yeah, but you say that like...
I'm not saying it weird. That,
like when I say Ratatouille, everyone's like, why do you say Ratatouille? I'm like, that's just how I say Ratatouille. I don't know what you're talking about.
Catalog. It's how everybody says it. That's how I learned it. What?
For yours, Tyler, I want to say it. So here's how I say Ratatouille.
I get really...
I'm pretty sure that's the common way, right?
Yeah, I say Ratatouille. Or Ratatouille, if I really want to be annoying about it.
I just say Ratatouille. I don't know what...
Okay, so are you into Pokemon at all, Tyler?
Oh, you know it.
Okay, I know you are. I don't know why I even asked the question. Okay, so the little mouse Pokemon from Kanto, what do you call it?
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I recognize that the general populace calls it Rattata, but I always thought it was Rattata.
You say Rattata?
Yeah.
I do, too. I say Rattata. Rattata. No? No. I've been changed. I used to say it Rattata, but now I say Rattata.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
I'm pretty sure I would just say the rat one if I ever were to try to say it, but I don't think I have.
The purple rat.
You can't say the rat one anymore because there's 9,000 rat ones.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. It's gotten crazy. But guys, we're talking about Papillon right now, so... what? Butterfree, if we were going to Pokemon. No, Butterfly. Papillon. It's French for butterfly.
Wait, now I'm picturing this song, but it's about a Butterfree instead. Yes! I really like it.
Oh my god. My daughter's watching Pokemon now. I'm going to diverge here for a second. Because we're talking about personal songs. We're going to talk about my personal life. My kid just turned 2. And one of her favorite things is to look, like, I have Pokemon Go on my phone, and, you know, when you pull up the Pokemon, you can tap on it, and it does, like, a motion or something like that.
Yeah.
And I make noises for each one. Yeah. Well, I caught a Lickitung, and what it does is sticks its tongue out and goes, blah, 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 and it, she just flips out. Wait, sorry,
can you repeat that? I dropped the audio.
She goes, blah, 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 blah. Okay, thanks. Sticks tongue out, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, one more time. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, thank you.
So she loves it. She thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. So now it's not even like she doesn't use the word like Pokemon or anything like that. She comes up to me and she's like, blah, 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 like it's a question. And if I tell her no, she goes like, blah, 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 blah. It's the cutest thing. And oh, I know, like, people who don't have kids always think, like, yeah, that's not... But no, seriously, like, it's adorable. Now she's watching Pokemon because of that. But, you know. So I'm raising my kid right, is what I'm trying to say.
Pokemon's a pretty good show.
Yeah, well... Yeah. I have opinions. But we're not talking about those opinions today.
Wait, this isn't a Pokemon recap show?
No, but let's talk about that later. Yeah, we got like 900 episodes. then we'll do One Piece after that. So this
the movies,
it's ridiculous. So this song, the song itself, it's just Rivers with an acoustic, and Carl Koch does the little brush drums in the background. Not even Pat Wilson, which I find interesting. And it's...
You know the names of the guys in the band?
I know, it's really weird. I always forget Brian Bell, and I feel bad about it.
Continue, I'm sorry.
I know. Brian, if you're listening, tell Rivers that I'm really sorry for everything I've said. So the idea is that the song, it's the end part of Madama Butterfly as well, where Cho-Cho-San is waiting for Pinkerton to come back, and he does not. And so she kills herself as he's coming back to see her, right? And so now he kind of... Rivers juxtaposes that with, you know, him catching the butterfly, it dying, and then him feeling, you know, bad about it, to the point where, you know, he's...
He's really sorry.
You know, and that's what that whole last verse is. To me, it's him, you know, I think, honestly, contemplating suicide. Not specifically because of the butterfly, but because of a lot of other things. And, you know, the whole rest of the album. You know, all of his sad things that are going on in this one. But that's why I think lyrically this is one of, if not their best song. Lyrically.
I didn't realize the Madame Butterfly connection, which I guess I saw that on a middle school field trip, but I don't remember the characters' names or anything. Is there like a guy called Pinkerton in the opera?
In Puccini's original opera, I'm thinking of Miss Saigon. I've been thinking of Miss Saigon this entire time, and not because Madame Butterfly. Has that always been an opera? Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's how it started. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't.
But I haven't seen Miss Saigon. So is Miss Saigon the one with the character named Pinkerton?
No, that's Madame Butterfly. But no, for some reason I'm like, oh yeah, it's set during Vietnam. Right? And the helicopter comes in on the stage? No.
Puccini based his opera in part on the short story Madame Butterfly.
Right.
From 1898 by John Luther Long.
The book was always the best. yeah. And I mean, there's a whole lot about that. That's why a lot of this is, you know, he talks a lot about Japanese culture and all that stuff. Well, Japanese girls,
that's the
girls,
album
not
cover
culture.
Too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then I read somewhere that if you have the album, like the slipcase, not the slipcase, but like if you take apart the case, the back where it has the track listing, on the other side of that, there's like a little map. And it's got a bunch of different references. Like, we talked about it in the episode, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if my CD has that. So I took it apart, and it does. I have the little map that they have on there. So I'll, I don't know.
Secret map.
It's a secret map. It's a secret map to River's Lost Treasure.
Only Nicolas Cage can find it.
Oh, my God. National Treasure 3. The Search for More Rivers. No. Rivers of Gold. That's what it would be called.
There we go.
Oh. All right. I'm sorry, guys. I gotta go. I gotta write this.
I like the implication that the band Weezer is a national treasure.
They are. They're America's sweethearts. What are you talking about? I mean, the music is really simple. The lyrics are just gorgeous. Like that last verse is just, it gets my heart every time. But I'm done talking now. Somebody else can say things.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, place bets on football, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.
All right, good job, guys. Solid. We were like, oh, we're going to have more content for this episode instead of last one, and now you guys are just not talking at all. Thanks.
So I kind of want to ask you, as I was kind of pointedly trying to, you know, wonder why you're in such a, you know, high esteem, high awe of this song, you know, is it because he's saying I'm sorry? Is that why? Because even in it, you know, like he says in the chorus, you know, he says I'm sorry for what I did, but then he says I did what my body told me to. I didn't mean to do you harm.
This is him talking specifically to the butterfly. Yeah. That at least that first verse, and then after the second verse, we're talking, I think, you know, a metaphorical butterfly. You know, probably the lover from Get You, where he's really mean. And that's when he. I don't think it's an implication of anything worse than, you know. I mean, not that I'm making light of anything like this, but, you know, abuse. Mm-hmm. Talking about abuse, we're not talking about, like, sexual assault or anything like that. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I think the worst of the implied, like, trauma implied in this song is what I always interpreted as, like, he, like had sex with a girl, like, and got her pregnant, and then, like, is ditching her, which... Is that the plot of Madam Butterfly? I don't know.
That could be, yeah. I think that's a good interpretation.
It's hard to know the truth of the real story of what Rivers was going through, or if this is just postured punk rock stuff.
I don't think this is anything based on his life. Specifically, I think maybe it's just a way to tie it back to the opera and, you know, ramp it up in a moderately good way, you know?
Yeah, the references to the opera, it gives it a layer of poeticism that I makes the song, like, even better, like, that mm-hmm. I never considered before, so.
Well, re-listen to the album with that in mind, you know? Because I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, every kind of beat of the song is a different part of the opera, you know? Yeah, this is a good tune. This is a good tune on a not so great album. Like, I think I would say this is the best song on the album, not just because it's the ending, but I know I said that with A Good Life, but I mean it this time, with Butterfly. So,
I mean, but I think El Scorcho or The Good Life is still the best song on the album, and I think this is your, like, dark horse,
mm-hmm.
Not Katy Perry.
Okay, that's by Katy Perry, but okay.
Yeah, what?
Dark Horse by Katy Perry. It's a
yeah. That's why I said not Katy Perry. That was the.
Oh, you did? You cut out.
Oh man.
Okay, make the joke again.
I think your best songs on this record are probably going to be your El Scorcho, A Good Life, and then I see Butterfly as, like, your dark horse. Not Katy Perry, but you know what I mean.
Was that good?
So I gave you the full take. And then you did the exaggerated laugh in such a way that you're going to have to leave the whole thing in.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to have to do. I meant to do that. So, anything else, guys?
Well, we need to talk about this line, if I'm a dog, then you're a bitch.
Yeah.
That I can't make heads or tails of.
Well, you see, because a bitch, it's what it really means is a female dog.
Right, no, I got that. Like, I understand the duality of the word. So, but like,
so if he's a dog, then the girl that he's with is a bitch.
A female dog.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just say female dog then?
I would say for the rhyme scheme, but he doesn't even do anything to make
exactly.
Rhyme.
That's
are you
the
guys
thing.
Forgetting about the duality of the word dog?
Oh. Okay. I get it now. All right. That's a solid line. That makes me like it even more, honestly. You know, because not only is he, you know, it's showing that, you know, cause it, especially if we're going in line with the opera, like, he truly hasn't changed on the inside. You know, he's still misogynistic, nice guy kind of mentality where it's like, well, it's not just my fault. It's also yours because you did this to me, you know?
Yeah. Like, if I'm at fault here, then you are too, like.
And the only reason I'm at fault is because of you. You know? Yeah. Like, if I was just hanging out with my bros, like, this wouldn't have happened. But because of you being a lady, that's why.
Well, I like the line that comes after I'm a dog. If I'm a dog, then you're a bitch, which is just, I guess you're as real as me. Maybe I can live with that. Like, it was the kind of counterpoint to what you were just saying is like, okay, so like if I'm a bad person, then you're a bad person too. Mm-hmm. But then like, I guess if we're both bad people, we're both just human. And I can can live with that. Like,
or that, you know, like I have a real life, you have a real life. That's fine. I'm still going to go, you know.
That too. Maybe I need fantasy life of chasing butterfly. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, this real life that we're living, like, isn't what I'm looking for. So I'm going to go.
Right. Off. And butterfly representing other women, you know.
Oh.
Do either of you have a take on ghost? Why the word ghost? Why?
By Jason Reynolds. That's a book reference.
Or Jon Snow's dog.
Oh.
Say it again, Tyler.
Oh, Jon Snow's direwolf.
Oh.
I'm cutting out all the bad jokes, so like, yeah. this episode's gonna be like 2 minutes long. is this gonna be the intro, like that moderately decent conversation we just had, and then our closing stuff?
Is there a ghost butterfly or something that I don't know about? Like, I mean, I know there's like the ghost orchid. But I don't know about...
No.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's representative of... If we're talking about... Okay, all right. Scrap this whole episode. We're starting again. Because I have a different take.
Wait, okay. We'll start at the beginning of the Blue Album again.
Okay. It was a period of civil war. if you look at the lyrics...
Was fighting with...
Butterfly is always capitalized. So we're talking about the lady. And so if we're talking about the opera specifically, like, she does kill herself at the end of it. So, you know, the ghost of her is leaving. You know, so he's not in the beginning. It's, you know, it's both a metaphorical and literal butterfly, but Madam Butterfly, you know. And that's why when he left and he was coming back, she had withered all away. Like, because she died. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when people die. I don't know if you know this or not.
Oh, but... I'm no mortician. I wouldn't know these things.
Look, man, I listen to a lot of true crime stuff, but so maybe that helps. But I just wanted to let you know, when people die, they wither. You know.
Now, what is this? What is this word "die" you're talking about? I'm not sure what you mean.
What happens is when if you have a piece of cloth that maybe you want to change the color of, you dye it, and it becomes a different color. But if you dye it too much, it withers and becomes nothing.
Okay.
That's what it is. That's what we're talking about. Right?
Okay.
Welcome to Feels Like Clothing. Feels Like Cashmere. Damn it. I messed that up.
Can I leave this bit and do a different bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so...
Fine. First, we're all bits at this point.
First verse, if we take it as literally as possible... He goes out and he catches a butterfly in a mason jar, and then he falls asleep, and when he wakes up, it's dead. Did he forget to poke holes in the mason jar?
He didn't put any holes in the mason jar. Because he's a doofus, because he's a dumb kid.
That's just dumb.
Like, grow up, man. Learn to put holes in things.
Right, that's all I wanted to say.
I like to think also it's like a giant butterfly. Because
Mothra.
No more sighing in her breast. Like, I'm not imagining like the butterfly itself sighing, but like the person going, huh, and then like, you know, laying up against the chest, and so Mothra's like hugging him, and he's like, I can't do that anymore because I killed Mothra by putting her in a mason jar, you know.
Oh, that's my favorite line from Dirty Dancing. Nobody puts Mothra in a mason jar.
So who's covered this song, Eric? Obviously, we're out of things to say.
Yeah, I think we're good. Because there's so little music stuff to cover. I mean, it's so simple. And the one thing I want to point out, though, so before we get
the last thing
to cover would be that it's the percussion that Carl Koch does. It in opposite to the other song I referenced, the Something in the Way by Nirvana, which I would say has a more probably brushes done on some cymbals and so forth for a little bit of a percussion that's in part of it, at least similar to this. This is a more of a thump, deeper.
So, hitting the bass drum.
Yeah, instead of the higher frequency treble-y. Yep.
Almost like a heartbeat.
Oh, wow.
Was that Mothra in the background? Yeah.
Mothra on the speed bike.
Oh, God, I'm going to be late. Damn LA traffic.
Godzilla's just waiting on a street corner. Like, where's Mothra? She said she would be here 5 minutes ago.
I cannot believe it. You know, this is the last time I do this for her. He's tapping his foot, impatiently looking at his watch. But every time he taps his foot, like, somebody gets crushed.
Okay, so
I think River singing is pretty good in this song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a pretty good singer, you know.
In terms of the chorus repeats, but like it feels like every time he does the chorus, he's like putting emphasis in different ways, and like the waves of his voice are crescendoing and decrescendoing in different parts. It's strong.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. Like it is so well done. You know, I just really like it.
Sorry, Eric, I interrupted you. I just wanted to give some actual serious feedback about this song.
Okay, so like when singing boys sing good. That was pretty much what you said.
Covers.
Yes.
The only one I'm aware of is the Ataris. Having covered.
Okay. Are they a chiptune band too?
I do not believe so.
Oh. I'd be interested in... Well, I mean, they're called the Ataris, so I kind of figured they would be.
They certainly are. Have Wikipedia lists pop punk and then emo, punk rock and skate punk, even. And they formed the very year this album came out.
And it was their first and last song.
No, they also are known for their another cover song, "The Boys of Summer" by Don Henley.
Huh. Two very interesting choices.
Which I believe that is the one that I do believe I know that song. I have heard them doing that song.
The Ataris or Weezer?
Yeah, the Ataris.
Oh.
Oh, I definitely know Don Henley's. I mean, that's right, for me, being an 80s kid.
Right.
That was very big back then. Somewhere in the 80s, I'm pretty sure, is when that version came out. When they covered it, and I would guess it must be late 90s, somewhere throughout the 2000s-ish, somewhere in there.
It seems like this song, if you're going to cover it, is just going to be another, like, slow down, like, just play it straight acoustic song, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine it being any other way.
Well, the other thing to talk about, though, is when they do it live. There is, apparently, they amp it up with some electric guitar.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Electric Butterfly. Yeah. Is what they call it.
And a more prominent bass line as well.
Although, I can imagine a kind of, like a really fast, like, punk version of this song. I'm picturing it in my head.
Right. Like, yeah, the lyrics like
green,
are too...
Like Green Day strumming, like...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we also need to talk about the fact that on Rivers Cuomo's live album, Not Alone, the song was performed by a banjoist. Which, that may be the definitive version of the song, if that's the case.
Oh, I'm all for banjo.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kermit the Frog and...
Not this album. We've got two more before we talk about Kermit, okay?
Oh, and then they did this song on the album of Muppet covers with Hayley Williams from Paramore, right?
Oh, they did, yeah. They did Rainbow Connection, didn't they?
Yeah. So there's that, too.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Either way, we're not there yet.
Well, the one thing I'd throw in for banjo, if you are a lover of it, liker of it, what have you, Sufjan Stevens. It's not that it's not certainly not that he uses it all the time, but he does use it to great effect, I think.
Did you just recommend just the concept of Sufjan Stevens?
Oh yeah. Yes.
The concept.
Are you aware? Sufjan
Stevens.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you heard of this guy Steve Martin? He's pretty good at banjo too.
I'm a big banjo fan, like, honestly, legitimately a banjo fan. I think
have you played
it is a
have you played banjo
instrument.
And kazooie on the new Smash yet?
No, I don't have it. I don't have a Switch, so yeah, my wife is like, you already have a console, and I'm like, well, point.
But I can't.
You're not wrong.
This other console
how
is better.
Am I supposed to play Breath of the Wild?
I'm so mad. I want to play that game so bad. But,
oh, it's great. It's one of the best games ever made.
Okay, all right. Can we talk about our ratings now? 10 out of 10.
How'd I know that? Tyler, what would you rate this song?
This is what I hate. Because is there a Hall of Fame at risk here? Like,
No.
Okay, like...
Weezer will never be in a Hall of Fame, right?
In 5 years, they'll be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame hasn't even put Bare Naked Ladies in yet, so they can fight me.
I hope they both get in the same year. That would just be wonderful.
Oh, actually, I think they're eligible this year. It's 25 25 years after your first record gets released. They seem like... I don't know if they'd be a first-year induction, but...
Well, and the other podcast on our network, Who Cares About the Rock Hall... actually had a special episode on Weezer. Or not special, I mean they do
right,
a fair number of episodes on certain bands and artists, but
they do Weird Al yet? Because he needs to be in the hall.
No, they haven't, but I'm going to recommend that to them. To the host. The main host. Good old Joe. But no, we need to get back to your rating, Tyler.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a 9.
Nine.
Ooh. Okay.
And I'm following in order with an 8.
What? That's amazing.
Are you kicking me off?
No, not yet. It depends on your opinion of anything on Everything Will Be Alright in the End, which is just a 10 out of 10 album, so.
What?
It's just going to be really annoying when you're rating. It's just 10 out of 10. Sorry, it's just really good.
So, wait, has any song gotten all 10s from you guys?
No. I don't think so.
No.
Because
so you don't even,
we've
you
had
don't
our 9.5s. Like a... Or 9.75 even. We had a 9.75.
We've gotten really close, but we haven't.
Yeah.
No, the...
Say It Ain't So.
Yeah, Say It Ain't So, because that was a 10 out of 10 for me.
So you don't have a like collection of songs which are your Hall of Fame, Golden Plate Club equivalent of like these are the highest rated ones?
Not yet.
I wonder if that could be a special episode at some point. Where we classify.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we're like three albums, after like we've done the third album maybe here.
Right, yeah.
Like, everything that's averaged a 9 or above maybe could be like...
Yeah.
Into the Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Eric's two 10s were Undone and Only in Dreams. And you didn't give a 10 this album, did you, Eric?
No, I didn't.
Which is...
9 was my highest. Last or two episodes ago.
Oh, my ratings are all over the place with this.
But see, on average, I think I like this album better on average.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, we'll talk about that in
we'll figure
another
out, yes.
episode. So yeah, I think that's all. Mm-hmm. We're done. We're finally done with this accursed album. I mean, we've got two more things to do, but...
I get that you're not a fan of this album, but, like, this is, like, one of the most regarded, like, albums, like...
For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
It's a trash album. No, it's not that bad, but it's just... I think in Me Too America, this is not a good album. I think the things that it has done for rock... and for Weezer and for people like me growing up is immeasurable, but I think there are a lot of really big problems that we can't overlook today with this album.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fair. I speak as someone, I've said this on other podcasts, I don't know if I've said it specifically on this one, I don't really care about lyrics. Lyrics are a hint as to how a song is supposed to make you feel. But usually how the song makes you feel is how the song makes me feel. Like, does that make sense? Like, it's music. Like, it has its own emotionality to it.
And I get
so,
that.
Yeah.
I don't think we can completely discredit them, you know, and that's,
oh, yeah.
You know. And, I mean, I'm huge. I think lyrics are incredibly important. And, you know, like, there were a few songs where it's the only reason I didn't give them, you know, a negative score was because of the music, you know, because the music in this album is incredible. Like it is such a well-composed album, but there's just a lot of problematic things that are being said, and the themes themselves are pretty problematic, you know?
Oh yeah. But when you're 14 years old and you just want to like, feel emotions.
Okay, I think that lyrically there are a lot of problems with the album, so that's why I don't. All right, I think that is all.
We'll be back next time with the recap, and you can find me at Almost Famous Minute and Watchmen Minute.
And I'm Zach Freaking Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at The Informal Log.
Yeah, and thanks again for having me on, guys. I love coming in here and messing with you. So.
Oh, hell yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. When I'm on my podcast, I'm like, I'm trying to hold the boat together. And then when I go on someone else's, I'm like, ha, tear boats apart.
Goodbye, boat.
My name is Tyler Boudreau. Fantastic Mr. Fox Minute is the show I did. It's over. And the Evil Podcast of Evil about Dr. Horrible is coming. And on Twitter, I am at Tyler Booty, TylerBoudy. Follow me for some solid content.
And we ain't talking about that booty, booty.
Oh, no. That's the pun.
Good one!
'Cause it feels like Weezer. Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.